Thanks. While you're doing that, the book of Genesis, chapter number 42, and I'm going to look at a verse of Scripture here. Ooh. Amen. Let me try to get it on here. All right. It's coming now. Now, this is going to be for everybody who has children or who's going to have children. We're going to take just a little time right here and try to help us out with raising our kids. There's never been a harder time to raise children than there is than the day we're living in. And that's a fact. There's no doubt about that. It's a terrible, terrible time to try to raise children. I get mad when I hear I'm watching the news and something terrible happens at school, and maybe some kid brings a knife or a gun and somebody gets shot or something like that, and the news commentators come on there and all they can talk about is parental responsibility, and it's a parent's fault. And they won't let you spank them. They don't want you to discipline them. They want you to let them experience everything, do anything, go anywhere. Then when they do something wrong, they want to hold the parents responsible. And the world wants it both ways. So tonight, in Genesis 42, we're going to take just a few minutes here tonight, try to give you a little help on raising your children. Now, your kids might be 2 or 20. They're still your kids. It doesn't matter how old they get. Even when they get gone, leave home, you know, they're still yours, and you have less and less and less influence, or, you know, direct influence on their life. But when they're little, you got a lot. How many parents we got in here tonight? If you're a parent, raise your hand. Okay. That's just about all, every adult in here. Look at Genesis 42 and verse 22. Genesis 42 and verse 22. They were talking about Joseph here and the trouble they called him, and they said one to another, "We are very guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us. Therefore is this distress come upon us." That's verse 21. Look at 22. "And Reuben answered them, saying, Spake I not unto you, saying, Do not sin against the child. Do not sin against the child. And you would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required." I'm going to talk about how we as parents sin against our children, or we fail our children. Then every day on the news, it's another story of a missing child. They got one now, that little girl in Florida. I saw on the news yesterday where they can't find her. Now the mother was out partying 2 or 3 days after the child went missing. They don't know, very suspicious, and they had dogs sniffing in the house and trunk and everything. And we have a wild, crazy generation of young people. But what has produced this wild generation of young people is a backslid generation of older people. And I'm telling you, I'll tell you what happened. The generation before me, my mom and dad, them, they had it rough coming up. They really had it rough. I mean, my mom tells stories about when she was little, how that all they got for Christmas what do you call them old things? A stocking, and all it had was some apples and oranges in it. That was their Christmas present. Kids don't even fool with it. Don't even touch an orange or apple now. About have to make them eat it. That was their Christmas present. I mean, just a generation before us. My mom remembered when her Christmas present was an apple and an orange and some nuts and a stocking. Now you about have to spank kids and make them eat an orange. So what happened was their generation come up, and then when all of us was born, they said this. They said, "You know what? My kids ain't going to have to suffer like I did. I'm going to," and boy, they worked and they worked and they worked, and they spoiled the next generation. And they had everything handed to them. And now we got this bunch of heathen coming up now, 15, 16, 17, 18. Lord, they don't know how to appreciate nothing. I knew a boy who was 21 and had 4 brand new cars. I think Ford brand wrecked them. He never changed the oil, wouldn't wash them. Brand new. They bought him a brand new, I think a little Honda Accord. And he had like 60,000 miles, never even changed the oil, something like that. And never take care of it. Just tear it all to pieces, stay out drunk at it, throw beer cans down, throw up in the carpet. I mean, everything. We're living in a wild generation. So I'm not going to preach tonight. I'm just going to talk to you about how we fail our children. How we fail our children. Number one, we fail our children, ladies and gentlemen, when we fail to love them. When we fail to love them. The Bible said over there in Titus chapter 2, if you want to look at it, we'll do just a little Bible study here tonight. Turn over there to Titus chapter 2, and let's look at a verse of Scripture. This is where some of the older women in the church failed a few years ago. Look at Titus chapter 2 and verse 4. Now, the Bible said, aged women, verse 3, older women in the church are supposed to teach younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children. The older women in the church are supposed to teach the younger women to love their husbands. You know how it is in the average church, don't you? The average church, a younger woman comes in and says, I'm engaged, I'm getting married. And the older women say, you have lost your mind, girl. You need to forget that idiot. If I ever got rid of him, I'd never do it again. That's the way they talk. They're not even teaching them to love their husbands. That's one thing I appreciate about Miss Millie. Miss Millie always, she always, now, you know, don't be fooled. You know her and Roy's had their ups and downs. You know he's been wrong several times. The truth is, I appreciate about Miss Millie, she's always bragging on her husband and encouraging. That's an encouragement to younger people coming up. Younger girls need to see that there is such a thing as a marriage that God can bless. Amen? You married people, even if you are having hell on earth, please don't spread it all to the younger one and say, listen, come here a minute. Let me talk to you for a minute. You have lost your mind. I mean, just because it went sour for some of us don't mean you should talk to these young people out of getting married. Amen. It's God's plan. I just read you the Bible said older women are to teach younger women. You're not supposed to say, listen, I tell him to drop dead. I tell him to jump in the lake. I'd leave him. Love him. Love him. Love him. Love him. Love him. Loving. I know why they're not teaching them that. Because they ain't loving their own husband. And instead teach them to love their husband and to love their children. Older women are to teach younger women to love their children. How do you love the children? Well, I'll tell you one good way to love them is pray for them. Is pray for them. Now, have you heard me say, my girls, they're sitting over there tonight with two of them. The other one, we're going to catch it here in a little bit. And she don't get something happened to her in the last few hours. I just talked to her a while ago, or she texted me a while ago. But anyway, my girls over there, I pray for them every day, and a lot of times a lot more during the day, but every morning, first thing, I pray for them, and they know it. I have prayed for them every day of their life, even before they was born, and I pray for them. Sometimes I think maybe my prayers don't do everything I ask for them, but I have prayed for them girls every day of their life. One thing, you don't have to have no money to pray for your kids. They ought to pray for them every morning. People say, well, I'd just give anything if I could afford to buy them nice stuff. I'll tell you what they need more than stuff. They need a mama that can pray the devil off of them and a hedge around them. Pray God will build a hedge around them. Pray God will build that hedge around them. I've prayed for mine their whole life that God will take care of them. When I'm off preaching, it'll happen this Sunday. It will happen this Sunday. When I'm in Florida preaching, before I get up to preach, my mind is going to be right here and my heart is going to be right here and thinking about them and wondering if everything's all right, even though I'm in Florida. We as parents need to keep our kids, carry a burden. I can't believe parents now. I heard of one not long ago had a custody case that was getting a divorce and had a child custody case. And the judge got up and he said, all right, the child's staying 2 weekends a month with the daddy, and you got 2 weekends a month with the mama. And they went up there and said, do I have to keep them 2 weekends a month? To the judge, brother. Do I have to keep them two weekends a month? You know, we're living in a time when people are so in love with their self, they have no time or mercy or a heart for their kids, and they're going to reap it one of these days. You mamas in here, if you've got a little kid, there ain't nothing you can do any greater than invest your time in that child. You can't do nothing. I don't care if you make $1,000 an hour, it's not as good as investing time in that child. Nothing's as good as that. Amen? It's unnatural. It's unnatural for people to just walk off and leave their kids, especially women. There's always been old sorry, good for nothing men that walked off and left their family. But we're seeing an increase in women that just walk off and leave them. Bye. Do whatever you want to. I get calls all the time. I got a friend, I told you the other day, buddy called me from Maryland. I didn't even remember him. He said he's 27 or 8. His wife is 26. They've got two little kids. He thought they was happily married. He was going to try to be a preacher, teach a Bible something. He really wanted to live for the Lord. He called me the other day, all two pieces. He said, Brother Danny, he said, that used to be my pastor when I lived in North Carolina. He said, you've got to pray for me. I said, what's wrong? He said, my wife set me down Friday and told me she did not love me no more. She has found her another woman. And he said, she's leaving me. He said, we're going to go. I said, boy, that's about as low a blow as a man can get. I mean, leave the kids, leave the husband, the Bible said without natural affection. I'm going to tell you ladies something in here this evening. You better get your affection right. And it ought to go toward your children and toward your husband and toward God. You ain't telling me nothing. I know how the devil fights you when you're married. I know you can't keep your hands off each other before you get married, and you can't stand and touch each other after you get married. I know. I've had a thousand of them tell me that. They say the devil fights us. The devil, same devil pushes you together before you're married, pushes you apart after you're married. So you all got to fight the devil. But I'm telling you, you fail your children when you don't teach love them. You know what I think? I think your family is the most important thing you got besides God and your Bible. Your family. Your family. I've always taught my girls that family sticks together. We don't fight. We don't bust up. Now, my daddy's family up in West Virginia, they stick together, but they fight. I'm telling you, they fight. I'm not joking, brother. My Aunt Cooney's got 13 kids, and it's a wonder they ain't killed each other. Now they'll fight each other. I mean, they get fight at ball games. Anybody in here have been to a high school basketball game in West Virginia? High school basketball game? Okay, Brother Andy has. Jessica, I keep forgetting you're from up there, too. It come out in her the other night. Thank God it did. If I hadn't had her, I might not be standing here today. She held that guy around the neck while I punched him. No, I didn't. That story's growed a lot this week. I'm getting calls from everywhere. I really am. I got a call from way down in Florida. Heard about what happened to you, preacher. But anyway, my cousins would jump out of the balcony, brother, down on the ball. Cheerleaders. I mean, fighting the referees. The free-for-all breaks out their ball game. They are serious about their basketball game. Little bitty gym, not much bigger than this auditorium. Son, they'll kill you. They'll kill you. I mean, and my Uncle Wig, that's Cooney's husband, Wig always tell the boys, and all them boys have big, strong arms, and I don't know if they did in your part of West Virginia or y'all part, but they never would wear shirts. None of them wear shirts. They go around with the shirt off all the time. I used to think they didn't even have shirts. Every time you go up there in the summer, every one of them, boys don't wear shirts, which... Somebody said, well, that ain't fair. Boys can do that and girls can't, but maybe it ain't. I don't know. But I didn't do it. They did it. But I'm going to tell you something. Them boys had arms that big around, and, buddy, they'd get in a fight, and Wig would give them the boxing glove and say, all right, settle it. And they'd beat the snot out of each other. I mean, they'd fight, and the girls would cuss each other and everything. But let me tell you, if an outsider come in, and he come into that little old town, and he picked on one of them, He had the whole stinking clan on. I mean, cousins and first cousins and brother-in-laws and everything. They'd kill that guy. They'd all be families stuck together. And that's the way we ought to be. I know we have our quirks and we arguments and stuff every now and then. But listen, we teach our kids that family sticks together. Amen? I think if possible, all your family ought to go to the same church. Y'all ought to worship together. You're going to see the kids, the grandkids, all growing up. We need to get them all in church, brother. Get them all in church. They stick together. Stick together. I always thought Carrie was already got out of school, and Chris and Corey was coming up, and they was for several years there. Man, we was fighting everything. Just me and them two girls. And I always told them, I said, y'all have to be best friends. I said, I tell Krista, don't you ever be best friends with so-and-so and leave Corey out. And don't you ever be best friends with so-and-so and leave Chris out. Y'all be best friends. And for the most part, they did that. And I've taught them that ever since they was little, that y'all be best friends. Because sooner or later, that other friend's going to go off somewhere. But your sister's always going to be there. And still to this day, they do stuff together. They do stuff because they ain't got no more friends. No. But anyway, I've taught them, y'all are best friends. We ought to teach them to love each other. Let me tell you another way we fail our kids. Somebody want to say something on that? Give me a little help. Anybody's parents teach you that when you was growing up? Amen. What, about being best friends? Amen. That's good. That's smart of him. Anybody else? Who? There you go. Amen, boy. You got to quote that verse a lot. I told somebody the other day, they said, we're having marriage trouble. I said, being married is basically learning how to continually forgive. Continually. Wipe the slate clean and forgive them. Forgive them. Forgive them. You want God to forgive you? Forgive your husband. Forgive your wife. Anybody else? Yeah. My daddy never told me he loved me. I knew he did, but he never, ever told me that. Never. Not one time. And I miss that. I miss that. Anybody? Brother Ray? Amen. Amen. You say it. Anybody else? Anybody want to tell us? Don't get personal. I mean, you know, there might be kin folks in here. But some illustration that can help us with this, it would help. About maybe your dad did or didn't do, and it hurt you or helped you.
My sister Nikki got everything. And yet, they would always, I always thought they would always just... dad Kay would always, was always really, really mean on me. But yet, in the long run, if they let her have everything, let her get by with murder, they'd absolutely just crack the whip on me. But yet, it turned out being better for me because I wound up, you know, all that stuff that she wound up doing and she got messed up on. I didn't mess up on. I didn't ever have to worry about that stuff.
Amen. Amen. And look at the fine, upstanding young man you are today. Nikki turned out pretty good too. She sure did. Anybody else? Right quick. Anybody else?
Yeah.
Oh boy. Yeah. They're all different. Amen. Amen.
It was the truth.
Amen.
And, my daddy when he
amen. Praise the Lord. Well, my girls, they never, they once in a while they'd say, well, if it was her, you wouldn't say that. And they'd say I was partial. They said that Carrie was my favorite, and then they said that Carissa was my favorite, and then they said, but I don't think they can say that. Huh? Oh, my goodness. How you figure that? I'm rough on her, ain't I, Crystal? I am very rough on her. Not really. I was good, extra good to carry. We used to go eat out at Steakhouse every Saturday. And when Chris and Corey was just, in diapers, Corey was. And we'd go to the Steakhouse and set her at the end of the table. And me and Carrie would sit there. And I'd do something special for her because, you know, she had to do so much with them. And so she got petted a whole lot. If you don't believe it, ask her. Did Carrie not get petted? Yeah. Sure did. Nah. What in the world was that? Somebody's phone or something. Somebody. I forgot to mention, Brother Boyd's here with us tonight. That might have been his pacemaker went off. Sure is good to have him. All right. The second way we fail our kids, and we don't have to hurry, we're not going to get through with this, is we fail to discipline them. We fail to discipline them. And, you know, I just preached on this the other morning, and I hate to do this again. A lady from a radio station called down there in Belmont, and the guy was trying to get in touch with me, and she called me, and I don't even know who she was, but she works at the radio station down near Charlotte. She said, I agree 100% what you said on here the other day about disciplining children. And I said, well, you don't hear that a whole lot no more, but we are supposed to discipline them. Do you ever get your kids when they're little and say, did you do something? They'd say no, and say, look me in the eye.
Yeah.
Look me right here and tell me you didn't do that. I always made mine say, under the Lord. If you say under the Lord, you cannot be lying. If you don't say that, you can lie. But you know how a lot of times they'll lie. They ain't a kid nowhere that ain't going to try to wiggle out of something somewhere. You say, every one of them? Yeah, just like all adults. If you pin them down, they want to wiggle and squirm. And maybe somebody here, and my girl's all grown, but maybe somebody here with these young ones got a fresh illustration of asking them, did they do something, and ask them, and they sort of hum-ho around. And won't really give you a straight answer. They need to be taught. They need to be taught to give you a straight answer. Anybody? Go ahead, brother. Yeah.
And I just looked at him and I said, son, I want you to tell me the truth. Did you do that? And he looked at me. Yes, sir.
Amen. That's good.
I was proud of him for telling the truth.
That's good.
I got in trouble, but I still proud of him.
That's good. Well, the punishment's lighter if they'll own up to it.
Yeah.
If they lie out of it, that's worse than poking a hole in the cow. The lying is. Because it might have been an accident or something. But the lying would is what's the bad. It, a lot of times you'll just fess up. They'll go, mom and daddy go easy on you. Listen, a few years ago, well, recently, there's always girls and a gang of boys at my house. When Corey was dating Wesley and Crystal was dating Jeremy, and there's like four at least downstairs all the time. Every night, six nights a week downstairs. They'd have pizza, they'd have this, they'd have that. Every night. And I got to where, you know, I said, you boys help me spread some mulch. You know, or you boys, my daddy always did. My daddy, my sister's boyfriend come, daddy'd always make them work. And I thought, well, I'll put them to doing something. And they cleaned up, you know. And I thought, you think you're just going to come over here and sit beside my girls, eat my food, drink my Pepsis? You bum, you don't have to pay for it, amen? That's right. If you got a girl, that's the way you got to be. And they get in fights. They had a gang of them fighting down there, broke a door, a closet door. It's still broke. Nobody would own up to who did it. And then Corey took I had a leather couch that comes from Ethan Allen. My sister gave me probably a $1,200, $1,500 couch. But it's light green, and Corey took a grilled cheese and laid it down on it, and the butter went right through the napkin and put a big greasy spot on that pea green leather couch. That's what it looked like peas, and it, a big greasy spot there. I come in, I said, "What is that?" I said, "Who did it?" Corey said, "Daddy, I didn't mean to." I said, "What'd you do?" She said, "I laid a grilled cheese down there, and the butter went through the, and so me, I thought, well, I'll try to get that up. I went and got some soapy water and stuff. I started scrubbing that. Brother, the more I scrubbed, the bigger that thing got. It was this big to start with, and now it's about this big. Just a big black spot. You can't scrub grease out of leather. And I sure don't know how to do it. But anyway, nobody wants to own up to it. Who did it? I don't know. I don't know. Something got broke. Who did that? I don't know. How many of you ever come home and there'd be a dent in your car or a window broke or something like that? That's when we hurt them, when we fail to discipline them. Listen, your kids are a lot smarter than you think they are. Even little bitty ones. Like them two little brats that goes out to get me together. Even them, they're smarter than you think. They know how to get their way. We think, well, ain't it done, or little done. A lot of times the reason they talk baby talk because we teach them baby talk. You ever notice that? Say, "Mommy, I love you. Mommy, I love you." So this little kid went to the doctor one time, and all kids hate doctors, the pediatrician or whatever they call them. And he had his, you know, used to be a doctor's office looked like that. The wall that color and fluorescent lights, real scary looking. Now they fix them all up and put pretty paper around, you know, and put colors like we did our nursery to try to make it more kid friendly. And that little old boy went in there and he sat down and he looked at the doctor like him. And the doctor, they've been trained to relate to children and all that. And he looked at him and he said, "Now let me look in your ear." He said, "Is Mickey Mouse in your ear?" And that kid went, "No. What's wrong with you? Now, why would Mickey Mouse be in my ear?" He said, he looked at me, he said, "Now open your mouth." He said, "Is Donald Duck in your mouth?" He said, "No." Finally, he looked at me, he said, "Now let me feel your heart now. Feel your heartbeat." He said, "Is Barney in your heart?" Little guy said, "No, Barney's on my underwear. Jesus is in my heart." But they're a whole lot smarter than we give them credit for. They really are. They pick up on stuff. So, we got kids big enough to be the teacher in Sunday school that playing with crayons. There's a point where you got to start disciplining them, brother. Make them behave. My misbehaved at church when I was little, my mom took me outside the little Methodist church up in Clinchville up there, and then they broke a limb off of boxwood and went, bah, 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 bah. Strike my legs right there, buddy. And I went back in there and sat down and didn't open my mouth. Amen? We don't love them. We fail them when we don't discipline them. And the last thing I'll say, and I'm just going to hush, I'm just going to call it a couple minutes here, is by failing to set a right example for them. We can't do this, parents. And I guess every one of us has been guilty of it. We can't do as I say, don't do as I do. Because they're going to look and say, "Well, Daddy, you did it. Mama, you do it." We can't say, "Now listen, I know I do this, but I'll kill you if you do." We got to get our own act together, discipline our own self. Like I told you about that woman said, she had head pills, back pills, throat pills, neck pills, teeth pills, wake up pills, stay awake pills, go to sleep pills, stay asleep pills, and come to church and pray for my son, he's on dope. You know, it's hard for them. It's hard for them to understand why they can't smoke pot when mama's high as a kite about half the time on that legal stuff. Amen? And some people need medicine. If you need it, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about it's hypocritical of us to preach to them and don't preach ourselves the same sermon. Amen? Something happens to one of my girls, I mean, they'd get sick or anything. I always say, You been doing something wrong? No, I mean, I don't necessarily mean. I know it. I didn't say it did. I just asked you. When I hurt my knee or something like that, they said, you been doing something wrong, Dad?
Yeah.
That's a good question. It really is. That's a good question. You say, were you? Ain't none of your business. No, when somebody gets hurt, that don't necessarily mean you're doing something wrong. But I'll tell you one thing. That's the first thing I think. Lord, it's because I did this or I didn't do that. You think whatever you want to. Think whatever you want to. Sometimes it is, sometimes it ain't. Every time you get sick or something bad, it's not necessarily God punishing you for something. But ain't that the first thing you think? I do. I think somebody's crazy. It just things keep happening to them. They say, well, I have no idea. Man, I'd say, hey, maybe I need to straighten up. Maybe I need to make some changes. Are you paying your tithes? You've been reading your Bible? Been praying? Preach your own self. We need to preach our own selves the same sermon we preach our kids. Like the little boy I told you the other day about him. Said, I'm going to stop. Daddy was fussing at him for not making good grades. He said, son, when Abraham Lincoln was your age, he could read so many languages and this and that and the other. And the little boy said, yeah, and when he was your age, he was president. So we expect our kids to be Abraham Lincoln, and we don't want to be Abraham Lincoln. Say amen right there. How many of you ever had your parents preach you a big sermon and you're trying to be respectful, but in your mind you're saying, yeah, right. Preach it to yourself. Anybody want to say anything right there? We'll stop. How parents fail their children. Just don't sin against the child. Good move. That's a good move.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen, brother. And it'll work. It'll work. Train up a child in the way he's going to go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. All right. We're going to stop right there now. Let me say to all of our